last and great day, Jesus stood with a loud voice and said, anyone, everyone that's thirsty, come to me. Put your trust in me, as the scripture says. Believe in me, and out of your bellies, out of your innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. How many heard what I said this morning? If you did, say amen. Amen. If living water is flowing out of you, that stops the input of the world around you. Amen? Amen. It stops the garbage. We have an enormous amount of garbage today, don't we? But God can block that with his flow out of your life. I want the Holy Spirit to flow through me. If you do, say amen. There's a scripture that I'm going to read. Then there are some scriptures along with this I'm going to read. And then I'm going to ask the pastors that are here tonight to join me and help me, because we're going to be praying for people tonight. People say, well, I don't know if I believe in divine prayer. You don't have to, but I've seen it work. It's not mind over matter. It's the power of God in the life of the believer that's been given the authority to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's not a celebrity that we see so often in Christendom. It's not someone trying to get attention, but it's a glory to the Almighty God. If you're sick and you need healed, the Bible says to bring the sick to the elders of the church, anointed with oil, and the prayer, the perfect, powerful prayer of a righteous man, not only avails much, but those people will be healed. If you've ever been healed, say amen. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm going to be praying for the sick after a while, and I'm going to read some scripture, and several of us will be. But I want to read something I rarely do. As the Lord gave me a word, and I write it down, often I'll read from the text or the script or whatever he gives me, but not for verbatim. But tonight, I'm going to read exactly what the Holy Spirit gave me in regard to healing. Because there are different kinds of healing. You know, when we bring our tithe and offering, when I talk about the blessing that God brings on our lives, there are six categories that I will teach you. If you've been part of this church for the last almost 17 years, now that I've been here, you've learned that there's physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and spiritual. That's the six categories of life, amen? I've taught you this, that when you tithe, that God blesses you in those areas, and that's something you can't stop or change. It's not something you have to ask for. That's part of his blessing in your life. But in those six areas of life as well, there are areas where God needs to heal us in those areas. So let me read this, not to confuse you, because I'm going to concentrate on inner healing tonight. Inner healing, not what you see on the outside. But have you ever been or seen anyone that's broken on the inside and looks fine on the outside? Here's my opening statement, and listen closely. God is as interested in your inside as much as he is on your outside. Now listen closely to what I'm saying. All the treasures of God are stored and packaged on the inside of you. Do you hear? All his treasures. Healing covers a variety of areas. That's why when I pray for you to be blessed physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and spiritually, therein also identifies areas that are open to attack from the enemy. If Satan can discourage or break down one area of your life or your faith in God, then he opens the door of doubt and will try to get you to question God's concern or his ability to keep you completely in his care. Does this ring a bell at all? questions God's ability to keep you in his concern, or his ability to completely keep you in his care and love for you. Compartmentalizing Jesus, his involvement, in absolutely every area of your life, if you compartmentalize God, what I'm saying here, and you say there are areas that God is in my life, but there are areas that I have authority over, I have responsibility to. And if you try to compartmentalize Jesus in any area of your life, listen, any area of your life, then basically what you're doing is shutting him out of his desire to heal all of you. In the same way that he saves all of you, he's there to maintain all of you. Listen closely. To be deceived into believing that there are certain areas of your life that God doesn't get into is the oldest trick in Satan's bag of lies. Jesus knows and cares, and he has and has healing for every facet of your life, internal and external. We have people that have come to church with cancer, and we've prayed for cancer, and they've been miraculously healed. We prayed long distance for people, and they've been healed. You had a man here this morning that the seriousness of his aneurysm that he had, Ken Harrison, was absolutely, they gave him 1%. 1% to come out of the MU Medical Center in Columbia when they flew him up there with that aneurysm. But in 9 days, he walked out of that hospital a completely healed, and you saw him back running Mid-Missouri Motors, this Cadillac GMC franchise in St. Roberts, Missouri. Healthy and strong, a father and a husband. God wants to care for every area of our life, not only our physical, but our internal areas too. That hidden part that people don't see. That hidden part that we hide from because we don't want people's opinion about what they think about who we are or what we are. But it's just like the scripture this morning. If you're thirsty tonight, say amen. In other words, if you want help, if you want healing, more of Jesus, if you want to be living in a complete peace, joy, and strength that life in Jesus has for you, it takes you to open that door. It takes you to open the door to Jesus' healing. That doesn't mean you come up on this stage and you say something that's been buried in your spirit. That's not wisdom. Because some people are just listening and like to hear things about people and they judge them on what's going on inside. How would you like to be judged for what's going on or has gone on inside of you? I personally wouldn't. Some people would think at times I was crazy because I did myself. Some people would say I have no faith because there's been times where my faith was in the floor. Some people would say you don't have any belief system in an almighty God that can answer and help you because there have been times when I was so weak in my faith and I was so low in my faith, I couldn't even look up, but I found a God that when I couldn't, he could. So what happened inside of me, the hurts from a child all the way to the present day that you're in are something that we often don't understand how God cares about. But I want to make this as clearly as I possibly can, that God not only cares for the external cares of your life, but God's interested on the inner man and the things that keep you from the potential of God in your life. Blocks that keep you from trusting God. Blocks that keep you from living the fullness. And it can be something that you were victimized by in your life, something you were hurt by, or it may be something that you harbor in your life. Pardon me. When I was reading what I wrote today, I thought of a story that enlightened me so much about unforgiveness. You may have an area in your life of unforgiveness that's blocking your closeness with God that's blocking that peace of God and joy that you want from God. There's a quick story in the Word of God about David when his son Absalom began to rebel against him. Absalom was going around gathering people to support him. He was talking about God's anointed, David as king. He was telling people about the social programs that he would bring that his father was out of date on and wasn't up to date, and how much better he could be a king. And he was gaining all of this power. And it was a front. And it broke David's heart because his own son was coming against him. But David had a counselor that had been with him from the very beginning. His name was Ahithophel. Let me tell you about this man. He was a trusted counselor of David. David would go to him like a father and tell him what he needed to tell him, and he would pour his heart out and he would tell him his weaknesses and tell him his strengths. And Ahithophel would take him in counsel and pray with him and give him direction. But when Absalom raised his head against his father, one day when this turmoil was going on, David walks in the middle of it and he says, "Where's Ahithophel?" And the news hit David like a spear running through his heart. Ahithophel has gone to Absalom's camp. And David goes, "My God, what's going on here?" Can you imagine what was going on the inside of David then? On the outside, he wore a kingly robe. Many of you come to church and you've got this robe of, "I'm on top of it, I'm an old-time saint, I'm a child of God, I'm strong, I'm powerful." But on the inside, there's a crumbling that's happening, and there's heartache that's happening, and there's hurt that you're dealing with that you don't know how to deal with, that you don't know how to handle. There's not a clear answer. There are things you could do, but the destruction of what you have the power to do isn't as beneficial of just waiting on God, and there's turmoil inside, and David was living in that turmoil. Now Ahithophel had gone to the camp of Absalom, who was wrong to rebel against his father. But people saw it, and people believed. Maybe what Absalom's saying is true. Maybe what's going on is right, but it wasn't. It wasn't a problem with Ahithophel seeing Absalom as some new young man that could come in and change the kingdom in a better way. Here's the story. When I did the rabbinic study of this man, Ahithophel, I found out something about him that plagues people today, that plagues the church today, that keeps people from growing in God, that keeps people from growing in the fullness of God, in the joy and the peace of God, in the power of God. Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Let me explain that story if that means nothing to you. When David was a younger king and he'd come to great power, his men went out on the campaign to battle. David was supposed to go, but he took a break from the battle. Listen to me, you and I don't have the luxury of taking a break from the battle. I hear people say, "Pastor, is it ever going to stop? Is it ever going to change?" And there'll be seasons and time that it does. But as long as you're a child of God on this earth breathing air, you're in a battle against the enemy. But you've got a resource called the power of God in the name of Jesus that's so great and so powerful and so long-lasting and greater than your enemies that you have an overwhelming odds against your enemy. But the battle still rages. Not only do we battle the enemy, it's not just for our salvation. That's not the battle. We battle for the souls of men. This church is a church that believes in the salvation of men and women. This church is a church that believes that people's souls are the focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that there are people in our close proximity that maybe others wouldn't have. But I'm telling you, when I started this church, I said, put this sign up at the Boys and Girls Club. Put a sign that says, the Sanctuary of Hope will take your basket cases. Why? Because at one time, I was a basket case that God brought in and saved and redeemed and called to preach the gospel. Listen to me. God has called us to bring the darkness, light, and the light of Jesus Christ through our lives, and that's constantly going to be a battle. When David was a young king, instead of going to battle, David stayed. That's when he went on the rooftop. Now let me give you a rabbinic view of what happened with David and Bathsheba. When David went on the top of the roof to look over on the other buildings, Bathsheba was bathing. And David sent messengers that commanded her to come to the king's palace. Bathsheba didn't want a relationship with David. She was happy with the husband she had by the name of Uriah, who had fought, even come to the cave of Adullam with David when he was a renegade from Saul. He was the most faithful of his mighty men. And David saw his wife and commanded her. Basically, what David did was rape this woman. David, I'm not talking about the redeemed David. I'm talking about the sin in the life of a man of God. He called her. She had no choice. He took her to bed. She had nothing to do with it. But she did obey the king because that's all it was at that time. Then she finds out she's having a baby. Then this is the cold hard facts of sin. Why do we make sin less than what it is? Why do we cover it up? Why don't we tell the truth about sin? Sin will take your eternal soul. She comes to David, sends messages. I'm having a child. He brings Uriah back on a break, sends him home. Hopefully he'll have a relationship with his wife. Uriah is so honest and open to David. He sleeps on the doorsteps of the temple. David sends him back with a note. He doesn't even look at the note. It says, put him in the hottest part of the battle. Put him on the front lines. He knew what he was doing. There was no chance that David would survive, that Uriah would survive that Philistine attack. He wasn't there one day until the word came back. Uriah died in the line of duty, and David thought he had covered his sins. Listen to me, my friends. I'm preaching straight, but it's because I love you, and I want you to have everything God has for you. You cannot make a scenario out of sin that looks like righteousness that God will by. Sin is sin, and it has to be redeemed, and it has to be covered by the blood of Jesus. Uriah is killed. David looks now like the benevolent king. He brings his widow into the kingdom. On top of that, to honor Uriah, he marries her. And she bears a son, Solomon. That's their child, David's. And Ahithophel, his friend, his trusted advisor, listened to this phony story of David. He listened how David painted a picture of righteousness when it was nothing but blatant sin. But in Ahithophel's heart, he began to hate David when Uriah was killed. He loved that son and grandson-in-law. He loved that soldier. He was faithful to David. And he began to have bitterness in his heart. But he kept the bitterness hidden. He kept the unforgiveness down here. He wouldn't let it come out. He continued to bow before David. He continued to compliment David. On the way, he took care of Bathsheba, his granddaughter. He continued to say how great you are. But the first opportunity that Ahithophel really had to say what he wanted to say, to do what he wanted to do, he had harbored unforgiveness in his life so long that a cancer had built up in his life that was taking him over. And listen to me, when you have unforgiveness in your heart for someone who deserves the wrath of God, who's a stinker, who's done bad things, but you're not the king or the judge, but when you take that position and you begin to harbor something in your heart for someone else and you don't forgive them, because why should you forgive them? Because God forgave you. He cleansed you. He washed you. He didn't ask any questions. He just carte blanche. You're forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he asked us to do the same thing. He said there was a man that owed a man, what, $50 million? I think in today's value. And he goes to the king and he falls before him and says, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And the king in his mercy says, you're forgiven. The debt's canceled. The same man walks outside and sees a man that owes him 50 drachma, 50 days earned, 50 days salary. And he grabs him and chokes him and tells him, now this is a guy that just got forgiven of $50 million and he wants about 500 bucks from this guy. And he chokes him and puts him in prison until he can pay for it. And people heard about it and went back to the king and said, the man that you forgave the big load for, when someone came that owed him a little bit, he put him in jail. That's what was happening here. He didn't understand Ahithophel, that he had been forgiven and forgiveness should have been in his heart, but he harbored unforgiveness. I'm not really sure why I'm focusing on this tonight, but God knows. Listen to me. Don't blow this off. Don't brush this off. Don't believe this is for somebody else. This is for you. Ahithophel, unforgiveness. Gets a chance at David. He goes to Absalom and he says, I know everything you need to know about him. I know every weakness. I know the pattern of his life. I know what he's going to do tomorrow. If you'll listen to me, you'll kill him. And Ahithophel saying, and he'll get his for what he did to Uriah. Unforgiveness. The cancer of unforgiveness is incurable except if Jesus heals it. I'm not asking you for your approval. I'm telling you a truth. The cancer of unforgiveness is completely out of your ability to heal up, forgive yourself, to take therapy, to whatever. It's impossible to remove. Only Jesus Christ can do it. I had a friend that was the head of the National Safety Council, a national position, and I was meeting with her one day. She had a religious, spiritual, wonderful background from attending Bob Jones University, and we were just talking one day, and not about anything, and all of a sudden she said, I've got to tell you about something in my life. The Holy Spirit began to convict her. She said, I was in a church, and I was a Sunday school teacher in a church, and this pastor's son came and humiliated me in front of my Sunday school class, and they started picking on me because they wanted to run me out, and she said, it broke my heart. I'd been in that church since I was a child, and they came after me because they had somebody else they wanted. Everything was wrong. She was a victim, as innocent as she can be, and they broke her and ran her out of the church, and she said, in my life, every time I want to get close to God, there's a stone in my heart, and I see that spiritual stone there, and I don't know what to do with it. There are people tonight that are listening to me, and they're saying, Pastor, I've got a stone in my heart that I do not know how to get rid of. I've a thousand, she said, I've prayed at the altar. I've come to God. I don't know what to do about it. And I said, and I called her by the first name, and I said, let's pray now, because God wants to change that in your life. And I began to pray for her. It seemed like nothing happened. She went home. The next day, I got a phone call. She said, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, what? She said, I was on my back deck yesterday morning, I met her on a Saturday, I believe it was in Chicago, at a National Safety Council meeting. She said, I was back home on my back deck Sunday morning. I wasn't going to church because I'd quit going to church because they'd hurt me. As I was sitting there, I said, I began to feel the presence of God. And I began to say, God, Sam prayed for me yesterday. I wasn't Pastor Sam then. I was Trooper Sam. She said, Sam prayed for me. And I felt something, but God, it's still there. What can I do? I can't remove it. I can't get rid of it. And she said, you can think I'm crazy. You can think I'm nuts. But in my mind's eye, in my spirit, I begin to see a stone that God took out of my heart. And he laid it out on a flat ground. And he took a hammer, a big hammer, and he hit that stone and he crushed it until it was an absolute pool of powder. And my tears came into that pool of powder and it was floating there. And she said, God, it's crushed. It's not a big stone now, but it's still there in a pool. And the Lord never said a word. She said, I saw the two hands of God take that moist rock that was broken into like a powder, and he began to mold something in his hand. And when he got finished molding it, she said, this is what happened. He opened his hand, and that thing that had been a stone was now in the shape of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I've been set free from that thing, and I no longer have that in my life. Listen to me. God will take the worst circumstance in your life. He'll crush it. And then he'll remold it into something that represents his spirit and his heart and his life for you. If we want it. If we're thirsty. If you want help. If you want healing. If you want more of Jesus. If you want to live in complete joy. In complete peace. And strength that life in Jesus has for you, it takes you. It may be some other type of circumstance. It may be through some traumatic thing that you've gone through in your life. All I know is this, that to open that area that you believe you've held out, or that area that you believe you've hidden from God, you haven't held out and you haven't healed it, hid it from God. He cares. He cares. Do you hear me? He cares about you. He cares tonight about that circumstance. He cares about that situation. Listen to me, church. That inside thing, it's not an outside extremity. It's not a sickness that we would see physically. Will he heal you physically? Yes. Will he heal you in every way? But there are scriptures that tell us about what God will do. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says this. It says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in proper time. But listen to this, starting with 7. Casting all, and I'm reading from the NASB, I believe. Yes, I am. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Are you listening? Are you listening with your heart? Not your head. Listen to me with your heart. Casting all your anxiety. What causes anxiety? I'll tell you what causes anxiety. Inner wounds, inner injuries, inner hurts, inner sickness. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And then verse 8, he says, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, he makes it very clear who that is in your life, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. There's some statements in there you've heard, but let me bring them out again. He prowls around. He sneaks around like. If you look that word up in the original text, it means he's a counterfeit. He growls, but he has no teeth. Listen to me. He's finding someone that will believe he does have teeth. He's finding someone that believes that the power of God doesn't apply to this area of my life. I've compartmentalized my life. He's finding someone that believes that there are certain things that I just need to pull myself up by the bootstraps and be a man or a woman about, which is total hypocrisy and it's totally a lie from hell. I want to tell you something. I had a friend who just, and I hate to tell you this, recently, a last few months ago, Dr. Larry Henson, that sang in this church, passed away. Larry Henson's brother wrote a song. And the Henson family would sing it. They'd sing, I don't walk without Jesus. I don't talk without Jesus. I don't do anything. I don't get up in the morning. I don't do anything. We are totally and completely, or should be, reliant on Jesus Christ in our life. Not ourselves, not our ingenuity, not our strong will, not some foolishness that someone taught you men about masculinity. Masculinity in the eyes of God is someone that will be a servant to others and love other people around and put God at the pinnacle of your life so you can be the king of your home and lead your children to Jesus Christ. That's masculinity. But the Bible says in chapter 5, verse 9, he says, but resist him. Listen to this. How do I resist him? Then he tells us, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences you're suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Accomplished, when I looked at that, I went, what do you mean? That means that you have brothers and sisters that are children of God in the world around you. When you think this world is just wicked, if God showed you how many saints he's got, there's a massive army in this world that claims the name of Jesus Christ. And they're going through the same things. They're going through the same hurts. They're going through some of the same baloney that you're going through. And what they accomplished was that they resisted the devil, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and he healed the inner man. Goes on in verse 10 to say this. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect. Listen to this. This is what happens when you surrender your heart. This is what happens when you get rid of unforgiveness. This is what happens when you quit trying to hide behind something and even hide from God and live with a wound or an internal sickness in your life. This is what happens when you ask God to wash you and cleanse you and free you. It says this, that he called you, and after you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself, that's a capital H, will himself confirm strength. Listen to this. Confirm strength and establish you. That means that when you are healed on the inside, God is going to establish you with power and joy and strength. And you don't have to fight that inner war that you're fighting constantly because of a sin or a sickness or something that happened to you in your life. But God heals the part that we can't see. And he establishes you, gives you strength, gives you power through his son. And then I like verse 11. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's that mean? That's to him, dominion is control over. Do you want God to have control over your life? Seriously, do you really? Do you want Jesus to have control over your life? Then you need to have him heal you. Heal those things that we're not going to talk about. Heal those things that you don't come to me about. Jesus will heal. We're going to pray for you tonight. If you need a greater touch, if you need a greater time of deliverance, that we've got the ministry right here in this church. It's confidential, but it's a tremendous ministry that will continue to free you. But tonight, I believe God can touch you. Psalms 147:3 says this, He heals the brokenhearted. That's on the inside, isn't it? Do you know how many things can cause your heart to be broken? The entire array of life. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Apparently, there are internal wounds. Isaiah 61:1. The scripture that Jesus preached when he went into the temple. He said it so clearly. The Spirit of the Lord God's upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Another internal healing. The poor. It's an external situation, but it's an internal healing. What are we going to do? Worry. What are we going to do? Dread. What are we going to do? Fear. Anxiety. He heals that. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim, listen to this, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. This is a figurative statement. It doesn't really mean open up prisons. It's a figurative statement that says that some of us, as children of God, are living in a prison because of the hurts and the sickness that we need to be healed that doesn't show. Psalms 34:18 says, The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Listen to these scriptures. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He's preaching this great message. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Oppression. Oppression. Do you understand? Listen to me and listen close. Do not take this offensively, but listen to me as your pastor. The number one drug that is in America today are antidepressants. And let me tell you why. I'm not telling you to go home and throw away your medication. I'm telling you this though, because we have moved away from the power of the Holy Spirit to heal our emotions and moved more to a solution of humanity. It says this, that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and with power he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. You see, I believe this. I believe that there can be inner healings in you. You listening? I believe there can be inner healings in you that will cause God to heal you to where you don't need an antidepressant any longer. I'm not being a pharmacist. I'm not being a doctor. I'm certainly not telling you go home and throw away your medication of any form. I thank God for our good doctors. I thank God for the brains and ingenious ways he has. But I'm telling you this, there are some areas of healing on the inside that will take care of other situations in our life. If you believe that, say amen. God wants you to be healed. He wants you to be strong. But the healing is in you. It's in you. Your desire to come to Jesus. Your desire to the hypocrisy or the fantasy for us to think we can hide it from God. You can hide it from me. I want you to hide it from me. I don't need to know everything in your life. But I do need to hear when Jesus set you free that Jesus set me free. I do need to see, and I do want to see you. Not like Ahithophel. Do you know what happened to Ahithophel? He went to Absalom and he said, here's the plan that will cause you to be the king of Israel. And it was true. It was the one. But a younger group of men were there, and they got Absalom's ear because they were the contemporaries of Absalom. And he rejected the plan of Ahithophel. And when Ahithophel saw that he was rejected by Absalom, the unforgiveness in his life caused this man who had been the closest counselor David had ever had, caused him to go to his house. The Bible says he put things in order and he took his life. He committed suicide. Why? Because he carried a cancer with him that grew to the point that it overtook him. You say, well, Pastor, that's not going to happen to me. I'm telling you, God gave me this message tonight for the church. He gave me this message for you that are watching online, that are listening, that God will do the same thing for you right now, wherever you are. But the healing needs to take place, not physically, but it's really strange how when God heals something spiritually or internally, that in turn heals something on our outside.